Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. At the 3:30 Bible class this afternoon, Pastor Tomlinson will be leading the search to find in the Scriptures the answer to the question, with so many religions claiming to have the only way to God, how can Christianity truly be the only way? Please refer to your bulletin for other activities scheduled for this afternoon and the insert in your bulletin for activities scheduled during this coming week. The youth servants will meet on January 20th at 8 o'clock in the morning. That's Saturday. At the church here at Bethel Baptist Church, and they will be meeting to help the Christian Athletic Association, one of the missionary groups that we sponsor. Also, the South Valley Pregnancy Center here in Gilroy is looking for a person for their board, and if you are interested or have some information about anyone that would be, please see Joby Noriel or Mary or Greg Tomlinson. Our scripture reading for this month presented or printed in your bulletin is from Psalm 113, verses 1 through 3. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 36, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. With hymn number 126, Rock of Ages.
Thank you.
388, Have Thine Own Way, Lord.
Standing for prayer as we look to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus, our High Priest, to praise you and to love you and to express words of thanksgiving because you will come and rescue us and one day we'll be in the presence of the mighty God. Father, King David said, Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still praising thee. Thank you, Father, that this is part of our life, to give thanks to you for rescuing us from ignorance sometimes, from a stubborn mind that do not want to follow you. Lord, thank you that you overrule, and now we are your children. And we are here gathered together to proclaim that there is power in the blood of Christ, that there is peace in the presence of Christ, and that we want others to know according to your will, but we bring the gospel and thy word so that faith can be caused in the hearts of people. Thank you, Lord, for that. And Father, as a church body, we have some people who need the touch of your presence. We pray for Carla Galeotto, one of our listeners from San Leandro, who is now in the hospital with the Achilles tendon broken and waiting for surgery. We pray for Jerry and Mary West in Villa Pinilla in Costa Rica, who listen over the internet. Father, we pray for Loretta Forrest, our wonderful lady, who is in bed for a few years, more than three, waiting your call. She is with cancer, and you know it, and you keep her heart so joyful. Thank you, Father, for her testimony. We pray for our brother McDowell, Lord, who has a successful surgery. We pray for a full recovery. And Father, as I listen to the president and know that more Air Force and Armed Force and Marines going to be sent to Iraq, I pray that your hand of mercy and grace be upon each one of these men who love you and love this country. And especially, Father, this morning we pray for Brian, that if the call comes and he has to go, that you hand the umbrella of your presence be upon his body, and that one day we will see him returning here as he is today with us. Thank you, Father. Lord, thank you for the missionaries, so many that we have endorsed their life, and they are like ambassadors for us. We pray for Fred and Carol Lewis as they soon going to be in Pasadena in the seminary teaching there. Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Malaga, Spain. David and Denise Rode in Papua New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala. Marta Poretti in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Dante and Maruja Rabines in Iquitos, Peru. Jose and Diane Avila in Costa Rica, now in Florida, ready to be trained and sent by the month of March, God's willing. Father, we pray for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, right here in the city of Gilroy, for the Christian Athletic Association, for Daniel and Miriam Lacey, as they minister in the sport ministry. And Father, we pray for us that you will revive our heart. That today, as we look upon the life of another giant in the Bible, you will encourage the young people to have faith in you and to set their eyes upon God and God alone. Lord, thank you for the support of this church and for the care of your people. They love you and they give with love. And so, Father, bless the offering and bless the giver. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please.
Hello. This is time for your evangelism update. And the question I'm going to bring to you is, are we Jeremiahs? Are we Jeremiahs? Let's turn to the book of Jeremiah in chapter 1, which is in page 443. And go to verse 4. And it says this, "The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained ye a prophet unto the nations." Now, if you're a child of God, God knew you before you were born. And indeed, he sanctified you. He set you apart as a child of God. Now, the third question is this. Are we prophets unto the nations? Let's go to the book of Matthew, which is in page 583, and go to chapter 28 and verse 19. And it says this, "Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And at the end of Mark chapter 16 verse 15, it says, "Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So what is the similarity? The similarity here is this. We are to be prophets, to be messengers, to go forth and teach all the nations. We are to be evangelists. We need to go out and spread God's word. Now, one of the first things that happens when we are given this knowledge is this. The same thing that Jeremiah did. What did Jeremiah do when he heard this? He said, "Oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak. I am a child." Now, what does that mean, I'm a child? For many of us, it means I'm unlearned. I don't know what to do. You know, I don't have those kinds of skills. You know, I don't know what to do in these kinds of situations. But God's answer is one of love and also of very good comfort. And God says, "Don't say, I am a child, for you will go to all that I shall send you, and whatsoever I command you, you shall speak." This is it. God is going to give you the ability. The reason why you are an able minister is because Christ has made you an able minister. The reason why you can be encouraged is also in this final verse that I'll give you. In verse 8 it says this, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." You got a total package plan. You are indeed a prophet, a messenger to the nations. And you, like Jeremiah, have to go into a world that basically is against you. But God is with you, and what are you going to share? Exactly what God gives you at the moment that you need to give it. That's all you need to do. Just make yourself available to God, and then God will give you the words that you need to speak. God will give you the good deeds that you need to do. That's all it comes down to is obedience. And that is how you get raised to that position of honor, of being one of God's children and one of God's messengers. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Chris, for those words. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Genesis. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 25. We will be reading Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 11. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 through 11. "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my chief. And his brethren said to him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him, and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and my mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for all you have taught us through the Scriptures. We know that without your word and the power of the Holy Spirit, we would remain in ignorance of who you are and who we are and what you have done for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your grace that has made this possible. We rest in the knowledge that your word stands forever and will not change, and that your promises cannot fail. We pray now for your servant, our teacher and pastor, Gabriel Otero. Bless him, we pray, with all wisdom as he comes to deliver the unchanging truths from the Scriptures. Give us understanding, along with those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, that we may not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And as you look to Genesis 37 for reference, I just want to mention two things. First, greetings from the Malone family, Jerry Malone and Moira Malone are remembering us well, and send greetings to all of you. And I want to request prayer for Chuck Mayer, that's Miran's husband, is going to have surgery February the 1st. And so we will pray for him and constantly to see a success. We are engaged in a series of studies on in a very particular way of thinking. I call that leadership studies, but doesn't going to make you a leader, but going to make you a leader of yourself, of your own life. And last Sunday, we start with this, and we study a man who found reconciliation with God. A very proud man, a very self-motivated man, very intelligent man, that lost everything, and therefore he hit the bottom, and by the grace of God, he was able to look up. And to his surprise, when he returned home, his father was with the two arms saying, I know this is going to happen. What a picture of all of us as we come back to our God and bow before him. Now tonight, today, I'd like to address issues that will touch the life of young people. And today we're going to say hello to two young people who we saw them when they were before grammar school, high school, college. One of them has a master's degree, and now they fly away. And it is my hope as a pastor and the hope of their parents that as they fly away, they reflect what they have learned in their life. How do you become a successful person? That was my thought when I was young. Young soccer player and a very large team in South America. How do you become a successful person? How do you secure a great future for your life? I saw players come and go as I played for 8 long years in my team. And I was there by the mercy of God. How do you secure your future in your life? Well, we don't have to go to psychology to learn this. If you move your Bible, put one hand in Genesis 37. If move your Bible for a minute to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, page 675, if you follow us in the Bible that is in the pew. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 11, we find the counsel of the Apostle Paul for all of us when we have questions like this, questions about life. Look at how beautiful it is. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. Now all the things, after he recalled the history of Israel and all the difficult times they have and how God helped them, he said in verse 11, now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world come. So Paul said the Old Testament is not just a history, is not just irrelevant to our historical mind. The Old Testament was written so that when you have these questions, how can I be a successful person? How can I be a fruitful person in this world? After all, years go so fast, especially when you cross the 60s. It looks like they're flying away. How do you become a very useful person so that you look back in your life and say, thank you, God, that you use me in all of these areas? Well, you don't have to take a course in a college class. You don't have to take seminars and how to improve your life. You go to the Bible. You go to the Bible and you go to the Old Testament and you find exactly the example that you need. There is one example for each one of our thoughts there in the Bible. So let's go back to Genesis 37. And I'm going to bring to you the attention of a man who became Secretary of State. We're going to look into his life, into the background of his life. We're going to look into the downhill of his life. What we think is a downhill, designed by the masterpiece of God. And then we're going to look at how God moved him up and moved him up. And then we're going to look into his heart. What made Joseph such a successful man? I thank God that my grandma chanted the Bible in Arab for 12 years to me before she departed. Her favorite books of the Bible were the Old Testament and the Pentateuch, which I am almost at the finish of writing a book in Spanish. We have to learn Spanish. That's a heavenly language. I'm finishing a book in Spanish, the Pentateuch, Life with God, the title of the book. It's just amazing. My wife goes crazy and reading and reading. We went, took a trip this week, and my wife reading and reading just to be sure the grammar is all right. But I tell you, I'm possessed by the life of these people in the Old Testament, and they were written for our example. So young people, you don't need to take special seminars and what I'm going to do with my life. Here's the secret today, and no charge, all right? Well, a good offering will help. All right, here we are. Chapter 37. First, his background, the background of this man who became very successful. He was the son. You know, in Hebrew, when you think in Hebrew, or in Arab, like my grandparents, you have to say, this is so-and-so, his name is so-and-so, the son of. Because your background is very important. Family is very important. That's what Satan tried to destroy in America, don't we? Family. And so here, I want to show you, he was a son of Jacob and Rachel. You're in Genesis 37. Move your Bible to the left, to Genesis chapter 30, please. And in Genesis chapter 30, verse 22 to 24, you find his father and mother. And God remembered Rachel. Now remember, the Bible said that Jacob loved Rachel. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. She prayed, she cannot conceive, and pray. At verse 23, and she conceived. And bear a son, and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. And the Lord did, and she died. Remember, at birth. Now, he was the son of Jacob and Rachel. Now, Jacob, just 3 or 4 chapters before this, Jacob had an encounter with God, and his name became Israel. A man, Ish, means man, Rael, kin, a man of the kin. And so he was born in a wonderful, godly family. He was like, I was mama's boy. I don't know, you man, you were mama's boy or papa's boy or you were not. But I was mama's boy. When I want something in my home, I went to mama. And my father said, where is this? Oh, my mother authorizes. I said, I was mama's boy. Look at chapter 37 now and verse 3. He was papa's boy. All right, look at what the Bible says. Chapter 37 of Genesis and verse 3. Now Israel is Jacob, okay, loved Joseph more than all his children. See that? Because he was the son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors. So he was papa's boy. The word love is very peculiar there. It's the word Ahab. And the word Ahab means a person-to-person love. It means you love another person, but you love the other person very close, person-to-person. That's your body, we say in English. And that was Joseph. He was a body with his father. Now, of course, he was hated by his brothers. I only have one brother, 6 years younger than me, so I don't understand these. My wife was one of 6, so she maybe understand what went on in the family. But when you have one brother 6 years younger, you control him and you manage him, you know. He was hated by his brothers. He had many brothers. And let's look in Genesis 37 again, and I'm going to read verses 5 to 10, so you see the drama that happened here. Remember that his father made a coat of many colors, a Liberace coat, all right? Remember Liberace? All right? A Liberace coat. You know, some of those coats weigh 200 pounds, and you know the cost of one, the lowest is $100,000, and the highest is $790,000. All right, so this guy wear one of those coats. All right, verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him the more. And why did they hate it? Listen to the dream. And they said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were abiding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheep arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheep stood round about and made obedience to my sheep. And his brethren said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Now remember those words. Remember those words. They say, are you going to be greater than us? Now remember those words. All right. Or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Now look at verse 9 and 10. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and dreamed and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obedience to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and my mother and thou and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? In other words, he was true that he has those dreams. Was true that God has a plan for his life. He didn't know how to communicate it. And so he maybe said, oh, listen, guys, hey, listen to this dream. And boy, that brings brothers and sisters right on, all right? That's what happened. So that's his background. He's a son. He's the son of Jacob and Rachel. He's a papa boy. He has an insight that God's going to use him. He didn't know how to communicate. It's not so truthful. Communication is very important. You maybe say the truth, you maybe say the right thing, but if you do not communicate it right, will be misunderstood. And now look, he was sold to Egypt. You know the story well, but let's go to 37, verse 23 to 36. The brethren said, we have to get rid of this fellow. Remember, they brought it in, they put it in a pit. And by the mercy of God, he was completely protected by God. Look at verse 23 in chapter 37. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat. They took that pride out of him. His coat of many colors that was on him. They took the Liberace coat, boom, down. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and bonds and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. They said, well, we got rid of him. That's very good. Verse 26, and Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Then there passed by the Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now, that's what it is. He ended up in Egypt. This wonderful prodigal son. This wonderful, he has really attributes of greatness. And his brethren, he didn't know how to communicate it. And so his brethren said, we have to get rid of this. He wants to be number one. And he became number one, not in the way that he thought, but he became number one. But his brethren said, we don't have nothing to do with this fellow. Are we going to bow to this fellow? No, get rid of him. And they sold him to Egypt. So get it clear. This is a snapshot of his background. He is the son of a very intelligent, godly person, Jacob. And then his wife, Rachel, very beautiful. He's Papa's boy. He has the advantage of Papa being protector of him. He went too far, and his brethren said, we have to get rid of him, and they did. They said, we don't want to kill Judah. They said, we don't want to kill him. And so that's where the line of Jesus comes. Judah, we don't want to kill him. Judah was the protector, a picture of God's protection. And Judah said, we sell him to Egypt, and over there, boy, they slave him, and he will know what it is to be proud. All right? That's the background. And looks like it's the end of Joseph's life. Looks like it's the end. Looks like it, boy, there is no hope for this fellow. Wait. Let's look at his life now. He had a very godly influence. Go to chapter 39 of Genesis, chapter 39. And verse 2 and verse 3. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelite, which had brought him down tighter. Now look at verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. You got a key? Ladies and gentlemen, you young people, you got the key? And the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So he has a godly influence. And him, the Lord was with him. That's your godly influence. It's not that you're a member of Bethel or a member of this church or the other church. Your godly influence is that God is with you. That's the key. Number two, he had business fidelity. Young people, you one day going to enter into business. The thing that a boss watch is your fidelity to the business. Genesis 39, verse 5 and verse 6. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house. Potiphar made this man a farmer. and over all that he had, that the Lord bless the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. That got him in trouble. The translation of that is four, you say in Hebrew. That's a four man. You know when you go to the gym and you see some of these 28, 29 young men doing gymnastic, big thorax and things, skinny hair, all well shaped and good looking. You say in English that he's a handsome person. And he you look to him and say, wow, what a boy. Alright? So that's a disadvantage. You will see it. That's a disadvantage to be good looking. You will see it. All right? So here it is. He was a business fidelity. Potiphar saw that he knew how to handle money. Young people, if you know how to handle money, you will be successful. I guarantee it to you. For 35 years, I've been counseling over radio and over the church office. And I know that anybody can get in trouble with money, because in America there is an abundance of money. Believe me, there is an abundance of money. Money flows from the streets. But you need to know how to handle. You need to handle money in the fear of God. And this guy did it. And his boss said, well, you know, why should I handle the money when this guy knows how to do it? You do the whole thing, fella. Just when I tell you I want something, bring it in. And he was faithful on it. It was one disadvantage. Not only he was smart, he was good looking. Now more. He has resisted temptation. Chapter 39, verse 7 to 9. You know, Potiphar was a busy man. And his wife needed a boy in her home to touch her and to caress for her. And the Bible said in chapter 39... and in verse 7 to 9, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. You know what cast her eyes upon? Said, wow, what a nice boy. And it's all for me right here at home. And Potiphar is with the army someplace. I like it. That means, that's the Hebrew word. It's really desiring somebody. When a woman desires somebody, be very careful. You know, that's what you learn from the scripture. Here it is. And she had the power. Remember, she's the wife of Potiphar, the wife of the master. See, cast her eye upon Joseph, and she said, go to bed with me. Lie with me. Go to bed with me. Now, what a boy will do. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he had to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against Potiphar? Look in the Bible. And sin against God. Now when you girls and boys get God in your picture, that scares you to death. That solves all the problem. You will have opportunities, you can't believe it. But when you have God in your front head, you know you're going to respect him. The Bible called that the fear of God. When a man or a woman fall into sin, it's because they forgot the fear of God. And Joseph resisted temptation because he had God in his presence all the time. All the time. Now more. He has grace. He had the grace of God upon him. Look in chapter 39 and verse 21. You know this story. He has to run nude in the street because his wife grabbed his cover and she lied upon him, his place and completely off in jail and all kinds of things because he was a strong man. He will not yield to sin. And then he end up in jail. Chapter 39, verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison. a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. Now, that he can end up in 3 or 4 different prisons, but he ended up in the king's prisoners. Is he not lucky? No, no. See, when you have the grace of God upon your life, God is going to design everything for you and put you right in the right place. God is going to move. See, even if you are in the top of the tough moments of your life, don't be afraid. God is going to design this and He's going to exalt you. Look at the next verse, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Now he was in the king's prison. Over there, you're there for a while, and after, whoop, you are out of this world. But the officer in charge of the prison likes Joseph. Well, what a coincidence. Ladies and gentlemen, if we believe in God, there is no coincidence with God. All right. Now, he found the grace of God upon him. He had God-given opportunity. Chapter 40, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended the Lord's, the king of Egypt. Maybe the king say, make me some croissant. And he said, no, it's bad for you. Boy, go to jail. And Pharaoh was wrath against the two officers, against the chief of the butlers, and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in guard, in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. What a coincidence. The two elite people who made food for the king, which I had to be very, very confidential, they do end up right there. And now look at the next verse. It's amazing. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he took care of them, and they continued a season in guard. The captain said, well, you know, I'm very busy. You, Joseph, take care of these two people. What? This guy is placed in the jail of the king's jail so that he will be killed later on. And he now is in charge of two of the officers of the king in jail. That sounds a miracle. Yes, it is. It is amazing. I want to keep reading because it's so excited. Young people read magazines. You read the Bible, you get really excited. Verse 5. And they dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of the Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the guard of his lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they say unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to me? Look in the Bible. Do not interpretation belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And you know the rest of the story. They tell the demon, he gave honor to God, and God gave grace to Joseph, and he found everything those people dreamed. Now, one of these guys died, the other survived. What a coincidence. Pharaoh also had a dream. What a coincidence. Pharaoh has a dream. Look at chapter 41 and now verse 16. The officer of the guard, the elite officer of the guard, said to Pharaoh, the king, he said, Pharaoh, there is a guy from the Jew, you know. You say something and he tell you what it is. So bring it here. So chapter 41, verse 16. Look at what the Bible said. And Joseph, and Pharaoh, verse 15, actually verse 14, let's just start from there. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment, and came into Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it, and I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret. Joseph, you're a great guy. Now again, young people, I want you to pay attention to it. Because when the women want Joseph, even though he was good looking, he said, God. God. I can, yes, I can sleep with you, but God would not allow me. God. Now, here comes Pharaoh and say, hey, guy, you're a great guy. You really know dreams. You're really good. Now, I want you to look on it. We were in verse 16. Let's go 33 to 36. The dream is taught to Joseph, and Joseph said in verse 33, same chapter 41, now therefore let Pharaoh look out, let look out a man discreet and wise, and send him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for restored to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through famine. If you drive Highway 99 south all the way to Bakersfield, you see silos over and over, silos of grain stored. That was the first creation. I read history, you know, even the Iraqis, who were so good, and the Iranians, had silos. This guy created what today we're still using, where to put the grain. Amazing. Amazing. God called this man, but this man said, I be the man, I want you to look into this. Verse 33 said, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man. Look out the man. What are the conditions? Discreet and wise. He did not say, oh, I am the man. You know this? He did not promote himself. He said, I qualify, even though he qualified. He said, I'm not qualifying, but I want to tell you, I want to give you the solution. You need to have a man who has a Berkeley diploma. No, discreet and wise. Amazing. I'm amazed how this man worked. Now, after this, he was nominated Secretary of State. Look at verse 37. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servant, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Ladies and gentlemen, he was not nominated Secretary of State for his college qualification, nor for his background. He was nominated Secretary of State because he has the Spirit of God within him. You know, boys and girls, you marry somebody who has the Spirit of God within them. Within them. Doesn't matter what race it is. Doesn't matter what nationality it is. You will know this. You're a Christian. Your spirit will tell to your spirit if the other person is a Christian or not. That's the qualification for anything. That's what is important. I'm amazed. Verse 38, and Pharaoh said to his servant, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne I will be the greater than you. And Pharaoh, verse 41, said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. A Jew. You know how terrible it is. The president of Iran said, we should take Israel out of the earth. And a Jew is nominated by Egypt, which are the sons of Ishmaelites. Egypt, the cousins of Ishmael. Egypt is saying, this man should be second in command. This story, you know this story. Famine came, and Palestine is hungry. Three of the boys of his brothers come. Remember this story? Three of the boys come looking for, and Joseph, which has another name, Panam Hanam Amin, which means the greatest, the greatest, the greatest in Arab. He is now shaved like Pharaoh, with a helmet of Pharaoh, dressed with shorts like Egyptian's government, and look over there and look to his brothers. Remember the Bible said that one time he has to go in and cry to see his brothers. And he loathed them and he tricked them and he captured Benjamin, his younger brother, and kept him and sent the others. Finally, the father come and finally he identified himself. When he meet with them, he said to the Egyptians, get out of here. I want to meet with him. And they thought he's going to kill all of us. And he said, guys, I'm your brother. The one that you sold, the one that you want to kill, I'm your brother. And maybe they recognized his voice. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he spoke in clear Hebrew to them. And they were shocked. Now the brothers were saying, we're going to get killed. He's going to avenge. Well, let's go to the last chapter, chapter 15. Verse 15 to 19. And when Joseph's brethren, I'm reading Genesis 50, verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake to him. See, he has a good father. He said, the Bible says you forgive. A good father. And he wept. Verse 18, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face. Remember the story when he got the dream? That he had a dream that they will fell down before him. And they want to kill him for that. Now it came to pass. That happened. Before we be thy servants. Verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God. Never place yourself in the place of God and judge another person. Will you? Never. Because if you judge another person, you're going to fall in the same issue that the other person has. You judge the circumstances, you judge the people. Don't judge anybody. Somebody did wrong. Okay, that's fine. Be sure you don't do the same. But don't judge the other person. What was the secret of this man? Prime Minister of Egypt to the glory. If you know the story, he was carried on dead to Palestine to be buried. What was the glory of this man? What was the secret that he kept in his heart so beautiful? Verse 50. That is the secret. Yeah, verse 20. Chapter 50, verse 20. This is what Joseph said. As for you, ye thought evil against me. You really went bad, boys. But God meant it to good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now you plan evil against me, and God used it for good. Young people, don't take vengeance. Romans 12 said, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. Just leave it. I can tell you stories of my life and my 42 years of America and my business where people, because they said they discriminate, I never know this. They discriminate. I never know this. I worked as a professional for many years before I went to seminary. And I did the best I could in my profession. And if they discriminate or not, who cares? I was feeding, having enough money to feed my wife, to let my body be raised, my girl, my only daughter be raised in the fear of God. I have a good church in the city of Alameda where the base was for the Navy. I really enjoy the life. I never know this when people were. Because see, you don't live reflecting what others do. Just leave them to the Lord. Just enjoy the Lord, will you? Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy the Lord. Don't even complain about what happened to you. Just enjoy the Lord. The Lord is going to use, when you humble yourself before the Lord and you honor Him, He's going to use anything that happened to you to His glory. He's going to protect you. Women, husband left, He's going to protect you. Young people, your father, your mother left, God's going to protect you. Don't judge anybody. Just concentrate in doing good and in doing God's will in your life. And God's going to take care of you. If He took care of Joseph, God is going to take care of you. It's very hard for parents to let the children go to school. I remember when my girl went to Davis University to study medicine. I had to go every week to see how things go. Mama go and stay 3 days. We rent a house. And then we selected who's going to live with my daughter or not. We went to the local church. Where are you going to get people to live with? I went to the local church. And said, Pastor, I have a daughter. And I want the whole protection. You send me people, they are Christians, to live with my daughter. She's in an evil university, but it doesn't matter. I studied in an evil university too. But Satan cannot touch you, people. If you fear God, Satan cannot touch you. The government changed. And the government go way to the left and way to the right and do all kinds of crazy things. I live under a dictatorship. Where General Perón said, we're going to do this, it had to be done. And I was in the university, a rebel. And I got 7,000-8,000 guys on the street marching on against the president. Well, I end up in jail, and my father had to come and get me out. Finally, my father said, stop it. So I want to become a senator, Dad. I want to go against these people. They are against it. Stop it. A godly grandmother who read me the scripture. You want to do all of this without God? You go nowhere. In South America, you're going to get shot. And the Congress don't like somebody speak bad of you. Take a gun, boom, gone, next, please. I'm not afraid. But you see, young people, don't do anything without God. Just do it with God. Marry in God's hand. Study in God's hand. Work in God. Like the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, work like you are working for God, and you will be successful. And you will be successful. Joseph is a great example. A man who was mistreated, misjudged, and was protected by God. Ladies and gentlemen, let's turn ourselves to God and let God use our life for His glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that You will take care of us regardless what happened to us, regardless the circumstances, regardless whatever is on our way. If we humble ourselves before You, You take care of us. Oh, God, thank You. Thank You. May the people get to know You through the Holy Scripture. In Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.
Beyond all measure, that He should give it.
usually I ask you to stand and have a benediction. But each time people leave for different destinations from our church, it brings pain in my heart as a pastor. Especially when I saw these two girls, Lara and Shelley. And Lara was 11 when she was here. And after the first meeting, she told me, I'll never be back. What an encouragement for a pastor, no? I'll never be back. I guess this was the first time she heard the word. But Lara became a tool in the hands of God in our church. And Shelley became also, was little. I remember when she walked out with very few brothers and sisters. Then later on became a family of 9 or 8 or whatever. But it's just a joy for me today to call Pastor Greg and have some presents for her.
So again, from time to time we send people off, and we have here a gift piled by all the ladies of the church. So you can learn to cook. I'll be sure. I went through it, but I made sure I took out all the chocolates. But I enlarged them for you. So they're on. So this is Elizabeth from all of us. We're going to miss you. As you guys don't only know that you will always have a place here with us. So let's pray for these ladies and let's pray for ourselves. Father, as your dear children, we worship you and we praise you. We give you the honor and the glory. And as these young ladies, they go out and they enter into the world and completing school and working and serving you, no matter where they are. They are still your children. And they are still part of our great family. You have told us in your word that wherever we are, there are other children of God. And we have brothers and sisters. We have parents in Christ. But you, Lord, are forever alone. We thank you for your message of hope. The message that our success is not measured in the money of men, but in the Spirit of God in our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen.